cumplido.
This main altar, no? Before we used to have long time.
That table, you know, see it was
like behind,
no?
Yes, yes.
High behind.
I know. For father was leading.
Yeah.
Let's close our eyes and be before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Sweet loving Father, through your great mercy, Lord, we are gathered here in this place after 1 week, Lord, to once again hear from you, your revelations, Lord, your deep personality, Lord, your plans, Lord, for mankind. Through your book of Revelation, Lord. Sweet loving Jesus, during this season of Lent, we understand you, we understand your passion more deeply, what you have gone through, Lord, for just to save us, Lord. And it is that blood, O God, that still confronts us, that still convicts us, that still blesses us, that still heals us, that still protects us. And we sprinkle that same blood in this place, Lord, upon every one of us, Lord, who have come here, upon those who could not make it for some reason or the other, Lord. And we pray, O Lord God, that whatever is not of thy kingdom to be moved out from this place, Lord, and surround this place with your guardian angels, Lord, so that we may be able to hear your word uninterrupted, Lord. And come, Holy Spirit, once again, this is your place, this is your class, this is your time. We are your children, Lord, waiting to hear from you, Lord. Prepare our hearts, O God, to speak to us. Only you can reveal your word to us, Lord. And without your revelation, O Lord, this word of yours is not illuminated, Lord, but you illumine this word, Lord. We want, Lord God, our eyes, our spiritual eyes to be open, our spiritual mind to be open, our spiritual ears to be open, Lord. Because, Lord, in this, Lord, is the secret of life, Lord. And in this, Lord, you train, you teach your people, O God, those who are thirsty for you, O Lord, how to tackle life in all its fullness, Lord. Amen. With all its trials and tribulations, Lord, you still make us victorious, Lord, if only we understand your word, Lord. Thank you, Mama Mary, for being with us always. Continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and pray for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. What is yours, eh?
Yeah,
I just wanted
to know.
Last week, we finished the book of the letter of to Smyrna. Yes. So this is we have seen two letters. The first one is to Ephesus. To the church of Ephesus, Jesus had certain things to complain about. He liked a lot of things in them, but he complained about certain things, which we had gone through. In Smyrna, there were no complaints about him, about the people of Smyrna. In fact, it was all goodness, because they were really going through affliction. And today, we start with a message in Pergamum. That is chapter 2, verse 12 onwards. If somebody wants to read it. Chapter 2, verses 12 onwards. Letter to Pergamum. Doctor? Oh, you don't have it. Who is there? Yeah, chapter 2. Yeah. Sister, you.
Yeah, which one is that? To the angel. 12 it is?
12.
Yeah.
The message to Pergamum.
The angel of the church in Pergamum, write, this is the message from the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you live. There where Satan has has his throne. You are true to me and you did not abandon your faith in me. Even during the time when Antipas, my faithful witness, was killed there where Satan lives. But there are a few things I have against you. There are some among you who follow the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak how to lead the people of Israel into sin by persuading them to eat food that had been offered to idols and to practice sexual immorality. In the same way, you have people among you who follow the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Now turn from your sins. If you don't, I will come to you soon and fight against those people with the sword that comes out of my mouth. If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who win the victory, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give each of them a white stone on which is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it.
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Right, as we know, we have always, when with every letter, we see the geographical condition of that place and the strengths and weaknesses of that particular place. Now, Ephesus and Smyrna were very great in location. As a matter of fact, they were both situated in such a place where all the roads met. All the roads met to them. So they were centrally poised. Whereas Pergamum was not centrally poised like they were. There were no many roads passing through Pergamum. But in spite of that, historically, Pergamum is considered the greatest city in Asia. In spite of that, Pergamus is considered as the greatest city in Asia, although it was not centrally located like Ephesus and Smyrna. Now, as we know, you'll get a lot of Greek words which are very important in understanding the revelations. And that's why we got to take a lot of time to understand the Greek words as well, because in that is the correct meaning of what it is here. Now, for a start, as you know that on the very first day, I give you the history of these places. Okay, so today is a historical day. When I'll give you the history of Pergamus. First of all, Pergamum was first called as Pergamos. Okay, Pergamos. And it was in fact called by two names. Pergamos, some of them called them as Pergamos, M-O-S, and some of them called them as Pergamum. Yeah, but over the years passing by, Pergamum prevailed. And Pergamus was given away. And it was called now as Pergamum. Just like you have many of our Bangalore and Bangalore and all that stuff. You know, that way it is. And it's good. Pergamum sounds much better as these people say. So, historically, Pergamum was the greatest city in Asia. Now, why is that? In fact, it is called by far the most famous, not only greatest, but by far the most famous city in Asia. Now, incidentally, Pergamum had been a capital city for more than 400 years. Okay. Now, why is that? It started back in 282 BC. Okay. You know that Alexander the Great, have you heard in our history books? Alexander the Great, right? Now, he had a massive empire. But after some time, that empire started breaking down. Yeah, because with the wars, conflicts, etc. His great, Alexander the Great's empire was breaking down. And in the events of a breakdown, there was a kingdom called Seleucid, S-E-L-E-U-C-I-D, which was a kingdom in the breaking down of Alexander the Great's empire. Okay. So, this kingdom was broken down and the capital of this kingdom was Smyrna, was Pergamum, okay? And it was from 200, what did I say just now? It was from the year 282 BC, okay, until 133 BC. So, so many years it was the capital. Now, while these small sections were being ruled, there was a king who ruled this section, this particular section of the Seleucid kingdom, and his name was Attalus, A-T-T-A-L-U-S, Attalus the Third. He was the king of this particular Seleucid kingdom. Now, before he died, before Attalus died, he willed that this kingdom, this dominions of this kingdom, will go to Rome. Okay, that was his will. So he prepared all his will that this particular, after my death, this thing will go to Rome. And so he died. And hence that area, that territory went to Rome. And Rome kept Pergamum as its capital. It didn't change the capital because it was so popular, so great and so good that Rome kept Pergamum as their capital. That is the history of it. Now, geographically as well, Pergamum was very impressively situated. First of all, it was built on a tall conical hill. It was built on a tall conical hill, and which dominated the river Caicus, C-A-I-C-U-S. There was river Caicus, which this Pergamum dominated. So, from the top of the cone, you could see the Mediterranean Sea, which was about 15 miles away. You know, so it was a beautiful place right on top, and you could see the Mediterranean Sea from there. Now, it was as travelers, it was giving a very royal city impression, because right on the top, conical shape. And so history and honor gathered around Pergamum. That's what they say. History and honor gathered around Pergamum. So each one, you see, Ephesus had its own history. Smyrna had its own history. Now Pergamum's history is something different. Now, Pergamum cannot be compared to Ephesus and Smyrna for its commercial value. Okay, commercial greatness in Smyrna and in Ephesus was much ahead. But Pergamum was a center of culture. You know, the culture was very dominant in Pergamum, and it was famous for its library, which contained 200,000 parchment rolls. Now, what is parchment roll? There's a history behind that also. Just remember, 200,000 parchment rolls, and it was second to the unique library of Alexandria. So, Pergamum was famous for its culture, and it was famous for this library, which had 200,000 parchment rolls in its possession. Now, parchment is a word derived from Pergamum. Okay, and in Greek it says, He pergamina charta. That is the meaning or a word for parchment. Now, and which other words called, it is called pergamin sheet. Now, what is this? What is this pergamin sheet? You know, in the olden days, there were no paper, right? So all these scriptures and everything was written on papyrus. Yeah, you have heard that papyrus, you know, on a material called papyrus. Now, what was papyrus? Papyrus was made up of pith, P-I-T-H, yeah, of a very large bulrush, which grows besides the Nile. Okay, it is a part of a plant, or of a very large plant called pith. And now this pith was extracted, cut into strips, okay, pressed down into sheets, and smoothed. Okay, that is the way they had made this papyrus and this was used for writing in the olden days. Now, Pergamum wanted to, like every of these little places, wanted to become famous. And the only thing which would make Pergamum famous would be his literature. Okay, so the ruler of Pergamum, after Attalus died, wanted to, the king actually, his in the 3rd century, Pergamus king, called Eumenes, the king of Pergamum, Eumenes, was wanting to make this library a very supreme library, a worldwide supreme library. Okay. So in order to do that, he contacted Aristophanes. Yeah, Aristophanes was in Alexandria. Aristophanes was an excellent librarian, and he was in Alexandria. So somebody or other, he contacted Aristophanes and told him to please leave Alexandria and come to Pergamum and develop this this library for us. Okay, now the ruler at that time of Alexandria was, it's all a big history, was Ptolemy. Okay, Ptolemy, P is silent, Ptolemy. So he was the ruler of Alexandria. So he heard the news that the king of Pergamum has invited Aristophanes to leave Alexandria and come to Pergamum to help them out. The moment he heard this, he was furious. So what he did was he put Aristophanes in prison, okay, and he stopped export of papyrus to Pergamum. You see, he put an embargo so that this papyrus paper could not go to Pergamum. Now Pergamum was in a fix. First of all, this fellow was in jail, and now they had no paper to write. So what they say? Hunger is Hunger is the inventory of invention. Is the basic of invention. That's what they say. No? When you're hungry, then you try to invent things. Yeah. So you're so desperate. So now they invented they had to invent something. They had no these bushes in their country, so they invented something called parchment. Okay, parchment or vellum. Now, what is this parchment? Now, parchments are the skins of beasts, smoothed and polished. This was from a bush. They had no bushes there, so they used skins of beasts. They smoothed it out and polished it, and that is called a parchment. Now, this parchment is much superior in quality than the papyrus. Okay, papyrus. So eventually, papyrus went off and parchment took over. And until the end, until before paper was invented, parchment was what was dominating in the world with as writing material. Now, it got invented because of necessity, because these people had nothing to do, and because now the story of it. And now, they had around 200,000 of parchment rolls in their possession. That is why, that's one of the reasons why Pergamum was so famous. That's one thing. Now, Pergamum was also a great religious center. Now, these places are full of religion. Okay. Now, in Pergamum, you see in the letter Jesus says, I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. It's very interesting. Where Satan's throne is. What is the Satan's throne? Now, Pergamum was a great religious center. Okay. Now, why was it a great religious center? We'll see that. Pergamum was a custodian of Greek way of life. Okay. They were doing everything in Greek, and they had Greek worship. So they were. They built an altar for Zeus. It was a great religious center. Okay. Because on the top of the mountain, they had a
conical.
It was a conical mountain, so they had a temple there. Okay. And in front of the temple, they built another altar for the god Zeus. Zeus. And was built in front of the temple of Athene. The temple is Athene, A-T-H-E-N-E, okay, which stood at 800 feet up at Pergamum's height. And in front of them, they built an altar for the god Zeus. Now, why did they build that altar for god Zeus? Because there was a battle. There was a battle in which these people won. And they took help from this god Zeus. And for that reason, they built this altar. So there was a temple, first of all, there called Athene Temple. Then there was this altar built for Zeus, and day and night there was offerings on this altar. So from down it was looking like a throne, yeah, and with this offerings going on day and night for this god of Zeus. Now, incidentally, Pergamum was also connected with the worship of another god, Asclepios, Asclepios, okay, Asclepios. Now this god was actually the main god of Pergamus, and this god is a god of healing. This god was a god of healing, and people from all over the world came there for healing to this god of Asclepios. Okay, so that is why Now Pergamum is famous for these two things. Okay. Now another thing is what is. Now the healing was not an ordinary healing. They had done it so well and so beautifully. Like it was like our seminarians. Like they had a presbytery, they had priests there, and doctors as well. Now Hippocrates, we know, is the ace of medical history, right, Doctor Hippocrates? No, the ace of medical history, and Galen is the second one, and Galen comes from Pergamum. Galen comes from Pergamum. Now. Asclepius, the name of Asclepius is called Asclepius Soter, S-O-T-E-R, Asclepius Soter, which means Asclepius the Savior. Now this title was so dangerous because for Christians, Christians always said Jesus Christ is our Savior. For us, we have got no other Saviors but Jesus Christ, right? But for them, they used to put this word Asclepius Soter as their title for their Savior. Now, Asclepius also, the emblem of Asclepius was a serpent. Yeah, the emblem of Asclepius was a serpent. And that serpent, you know, if still today is on certain medical emblems. You know, here there is one IBM Sinus Pharmacy. You know, you find that serpent still. Now, we didn't know why it was there, but this is the story, the history of it came from this king, from this Asclepius. The serpent has come. And even in that time, they had it even on their coins, it seems. That serpent was on their coins. Okay. Now, all these things we are looking forward. Now, what is the reason why Jesus called them the Satan's seat? Okay. These are all the factors. But it was not called a Satan's seat for all these reasons. Now, the reason why it was called a Satan's seat is, now, you know, the Pergamum was the center of capital of Asia, right? So it was the administrative center of Asia. Yeah, it was the center where Caesar's worship was mandatory. Okay, mandatory. So, and it was the center because any Christian who was there was killed, because Christians would not bow down to Caesar, right? They had Jesus as their Savior. So that is why. So that is any seat which belongs to any other person than Jesus is a Satan seat, because at that seat, Christians were killed because they were not bowing to Caesar. That was this thing. You bow to Caesar, you are saved. You bow to Christ and you get killed. But that is why that area, that place is called Satan's seat. That is the reason why it is called Satan's seat, because all these there was no escape. Any Christian who was there had to be killed because of this. Now, what Jesus said is, these are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. You know, that's the title he gives for Pergamum. Okay, now. What the author says here is, in spite of Pergamum being a Satan's seat, in spite of all the glory which was there, yet he was not powerful, more powerful than the risen Lord, who is a Lord of a double-edged sword. So Rome might be satanically powerful, but the power of the risen Christ, the risen Lord, is yet more powerful. Because these Christians never gave up. They never gave up. Okay. Now, life in Pergamum was very difficult, right? Because of these things. First of all, there was the temples to Athens and Zeus. Then there was Asclepius, the goddess, the god of healing. And there was Caesar worship. So they were all crumbled up in Pergamum. And now yet Jesus is saying, I know where you stay. I know where you stay. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. Now, incidentally, the word stay, the word for stay here is katokien, K-A-T-O-I-K-E-I-N. Now, the meaning of katokien, which is a word for stay, it means a permanent residence. In Greek, it means a permanent residence. Now, for somebody to call, for a Christian especially, to be called a permanent residence is quite unnatural, because we are not permanent residents here. Even Saint Paul, Peter writes in his letters to the people, he calls them, what do you call that? We are just passing through. We are just pilgrims. We are just pilgrims, right? He addresses the letters as pilgrims. But Jesus calls them, in that Greek letter, he calls them as permanent settlers. Now, there is a reason for that. Now, we have, now see, for example, we are of course pilgrims, but we are Indians, right? We, our permanent settlement is India. So similarly, they had a permanent settlement in Pergamum. Why was it so important? Is because in that city, in that Pergamum place, there is that devil's seat. So to be a settler in that place is a big thing. Is a big thing, okay? Now see, these people, the Pergamums, you know, the Christians in Pergamum, did not run away because of their because of their danger to live. Yeah, they stayed in Pergamum and they bore all the troubles and all the problems in Pergamum rather than run away. Yeah, so that is why God is giving them a great credit. It is easiest, for example, to suppose I'm being persecuted. Now, even yesterday there was a some clippage of persecutions in MP, Madhya Pradesh. Yeah, they showed it actually. The hospital was torn down. The nuns were there. Yeah, and crazy, just crazy. And the hospital is in the bishop's house only. It's in the bishop's area, and they just went on hitting like maniacs. And those nuns tried their best to be, but what else could they do? So, you know, like that. Now, many people would run away from that place and go to another state because of persecution. But these people never did it. And what the author says is, if Christians were so strong Christians, you have seen in all the letters, no? They rather prefer to die than change their religion. That is why Christianity is so strong today. And as we were discussing it last time, that is why we should not be afraid or we should not be surprised. Now, even I saw the clipping, right? But I did not forward it to anyone. You know, we should not be surprised, because the book of Revelation is full of persecution.
That's your father said in the retreat.
Yeah.
You're not surprised that the persecutions are there.
Yeah.
I'm not carried away, like, yeah. Totally worried.
And yes, and we should not. The only thing that our duty is, yours and my duty, is to pray unceasingly for this. Because today it is for them. You think we will be saying, no, one day we will also get it. You understand? One day we will also get it. And if we are run away from persecution, we are not Christians.
He also said that if persecution is not there, Christianity would have been wiped off.
Yes.
It has to remain for Christianity.
Yes. What happened? Why is Christianity so strong? See, all the religions of the world. Is there anybody persecuting other religions? Everybody knows that Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
Everybody knows. They are not willing to accept it. They are not willing to proclaim it. But they know. Why is only Christians? Why is only Jesus attacked? Why? You saw some of these Europeans also. When they swear only on Jesus. Being European, I mean, this thing. Even some of them are Christians. They're swearing, you know, Jesus, wrong way. They're swearing. Why Jesus only? Why don't say Buddha? Why not say this? Because they know that they are all false. Only one true God, and who will come for judgment, and this thing is Jesus. Nobody challenged. No one challenged. Jesus openly challenged. No, live as I lived. Who can live? And everybody knows it. The Muslim knows it. The Hindus knows it. Everybody knows it. But this is what happens.
Why are they worried of a minority people, hardly few?
Yes.
Majority. They're so worried about us.
Yes. And last time we were what do you call that? Prophesying that Modi will one day become a Christian, right?
Yeah.
You were prophesying that, and you think it will not happen? It will happen. It is possible. Yes. It all depends upon how much we are going to this thing. You know, the best revenge is for us, students. Not to hate them, kill them, and or to retaliate again. The best revenge would be to see them becoming Christians. What better this thing is that? That is why, you know, they say, eye to eye, tooth to tooth, which was what the Old Testament taught before, and it was this thing, is just a waste of space. Now, what is Jesus teaching? You give your right cheek and give your left cheek as well. That is victory. That is, but you may not know it unless you experience it. But you know, things like that, when you succumb, when you give yourself up, you say, okay, come on, what did Jesus do? Did he retaliate? That is why we have got this great thing. Today's also gospel reading was what? Unless a germ, a wheat, falls to the ground and dies, there is no resurrection. So I know that even including me, like we are afraid to die. Okay? But in death, there is liberty. In death, there is liberty. Now, slowly but slowly, this thing has to get out. It is getting out. It's not easy, but it's getting out. Like, for example, at one time, I used to be very much attached to this world, you know, worldly gifts. I used to like this gadget. I used to like that gadget. My room is full of things. You know? I used to like, but believe me, now, having fallen in love with the Bible and the Word of God, now these things are just...
necessity.
Not necessity. They are just there. For example, I was telling my brother the other day, like, you know, as far as these things are concerned, electronics, full. I don't have any place, I don't want anything, and I don't look into it. For otherwise, normally when I go for shopping, my first place I will go to the electronics section. But I like gadgets, that I spend a lot of money on that. Even when my family used to be here, I used to send them to the grocery section, and I used to go there, and I used to tell them, when you're ready, you tell me, and that's the way. But now we have seen vanity. You know, everything is, Solomon says, you know, the King Solomon, after having the best of everything, the richest king, who had, how many, 350 wives and 700 concubines. He said at the last end, everything is vanity. Everything under the sun is vanity. And which is true. Vanity is useless things, useless. Now, when I first bought this thing, it was a very expensive phone, right? And I should take so much care of it. Now, somebody takes it off, I don't want it. You know, is that... what? How much will it end, you know, which will give it you pleasure? But now, who is telling us that the time we spend with the Lord, no? The time we spend with the Lord is, you cannot be compared. Just cannot be compared. Now, okay, we come to church, we have a gathering prayer, which is very good. We need that. We cannot be a secluded Christian. But very, very important is how much time you spend with the Lord in this thing. The time you spend with the Lord in prayer will show your power outside. No? God blesses you in that intimacy time and reveals it in your outer life. That's that. So great is our God. We need power. All you have to do is spend your time with God. With God. At first it may seem very boring. I'm telling you, it looks very boring. What to do? Doesn't matter. But if you persist, then you will come to a stage when every minute will count. Instead of going at 4:50, 4:30, I'll go 5 minutes early because I want to be in touch with the Lord. And then you won't feel like coming out of your room. You know, whatever it is, you maybe have a separate room, or you may have a big dormitory, but your bed is your room for that moment. And you just be with the Father. Father is available. Jesus is available anytime, any place. You know, and without that power, we cannot do anything. Now, even the Bible. Is it easy to read the Bible? Unless you call out to the Holy Spirit and tell Him to illumine the word, it doesn't make sense. I've seen both sides of it. It doesn't make sense. The moment you call the Holy Spirit and you struggle, the moment you have your desire builds for this thing and you want to know about it, then you see certain words just come up. Certain words just come up. Yeah. As I was testifying to you last time, in my recent attacks with demons, you know, this was what kept me alive. That was the time I claimed the word so strongly, and that is the truth. Because the only thing I was getting message was the truth. What is the truth? The question was, when I asked the Lord what is happening, he answered me back with the same question: is what is the truth? Then I had to literally sit down there, write it down. What is the truth? The truth is that God is, we are God's creation. That's the truth. Nothing can beat that. Second truth is what? Jesus loved us and He died for us. That's the truth. The third situation is what? Holy Spirit, the powerhouse of God, is dwelling in us. Okay. If we have these three truths so visibly, then why am I listening to the lies of God? If I am so much listening to the lies of the devil, why am I listening to that? And he was taunting me, he was making me miserable. I could not sleep 1 hour per day. For so many days, but then that led me to hours of prayer, right? Sometimes I used to sleep at 12:30, while by 1:10 I'm awake, and I'm longing to sleep, but sleep is gone. And then what I used to do is I used to, instead of succumbing to that prayer life, I took victory over it. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time of prayer. Otherwise, I never get so much time to pray. I like to sleep. Yeah? And that continued. And then when it was getting, sometime what happened, the devil used to tell me, see, you are not getting any sleep, so you are restless, you are this thing. But no, I used to have a beautiful day at work, yeah, and beautiful time at this thing. And then, but sometimes you feel, no, when a person is so used to sleeping and you don't get sleep, then you say, what happens, Lord? Why is that? So that thing was irritating me. And the Lord allowed it to happen. You know, that's the beauty of it. He allowed it to happen because unless you have difficulties, unless the storms hit you, you don't know what to do. I clung to this word like I was, as if I was drowning, and I was worse than drowning, I'm telling you. It was, and this attacks take place basically in the night. You cannot call anybody. Yeah, you are alone at you don't know what to do. So you are at only on the mercy of God. And why I came to know that God is with me is because I was not getting, although that fright was there, but I was not getting, the peace of God was there. I was not getting sleep, but the peace was there. And I used to pray rosaries after rosaries, read the Bible. I had a white book of Brother John's to claim, this thing of it, victories on that, to the word of God. And it was taking me through. Yeah, then 4:30 I used to get up and come to church. Sometimes at 4:30, I should get a wink. You know, I should just sleep at that time and then I should miss mass. You know, but that is how I had 1 month of terrible warfare with the evil one. Today, praise God, he has set me free. But he has taught me a lot of things. He has taught me that this book is just not a book. You know, and he has taught me that unless we pray with this power, nothing happens. Yeah, nothing happens. Now, for example, then what happened? What was my modus operandi with the devil? I said, whenever he used to attack me with that, I used to stop. I said, lies. I said, lies, Satan lies. I'm not listening to your lies. I'm not buying this from you. The truth is this. My God has created me, my Jesus has saved me, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. So you cannot touch me. You know, so I started till he took away from me. Now God could not help me, he could help me. But I know that he was there. He was helping me. Every day, I always have this this thing of asking Jesus, Lord Jesus, I want to sleep on your lap. Right from the beginning, before this attack also. And then after that, those days, I said, Lord Jesus, what happened? Every day I sleep on your lap and you give me so much of good sleep. Now why are you not giving me sleep? Why is it only for 1 hour that I sleep and I get up? You know, and then I'm tormented. Yeah, I know it was nothing of my sin because I had already made a nice, beautiful confession to the Lord. So, whenever you're not in sin, you know, that gives you a lot of power. But because he said, no, the devil is not attacking me because I've got sin in me. No, I don't have any sin in me. So why is that? It makes you think. It makes you think, what is God trying to teach you? And believe me, that's a beautiful experience. And that's the time when I came to know, and I knew what is the meaning of depression. Very often we have got some sisters also in our own community saying, who are depressed, you know. And that is a time when you really, if somebody I know is depressed, even in the middle of the night, I will go and meet that person. Just because I've got nothing to say, but I'll just to give a shoulder for that person to lean on. Because at that time, you need that person desperately. Thoughts of suicide come at that time? You know, you just feel like giving up. So strong the devil is. That's why brothers and sisters, never play with him. Never play with him. You have to watch all your things, because you leave one door open, he will come to attack you. One door, that is. And as we grow, no, as we grow, he is desperate. He's losing a soul. He's desperate. At any cost, he will chew you. He wants you to hell. And that's, and the opposite is also true. God is desperately waiting to win our hearts. And he will not do it. And he will not disown. Nothing comes on a platter. That is why the topic has come, because of persecution. Don't be afraid of persecution. And another thing is, now these people have not been just taking it, whatever is coming, like, you know, but they have been taking it boldly. In this also, I've noticed in my experience, I was not taking it possible. First, I was afraid. You know, so he was trying to put me. But after that, once the Lord gave me the revelation, after that, I started bombarding him. I said, you are a defeated foe. And I said, not only, I was praying for all these people who are depressed, whom I know. You know, I started praying for them. I said, you are attacking our people here. You're taking, I said, no way. You know, you are not going to attack. And I started, until today I'm praying for all these people whom I know are depressed, okay, in my life. And because why I have gone through this depression, it started on the 3rd of last month, February 3rd. And it left me now, a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago it left me. From the 3rd I've been tormented. No, completely. And see, being even strong in the Lord, you know, when a devil attacks you like that, you succumb. There is no way. You cannot pray. You cannot do anything. You know, you just sleep on bed, and you are awoken. Now, and that time, like, you know, I never keep my lights on when I sleep. I always sleep with my lights off. But from that day onwards, I just keep my lights on. You know, I'm never a person of who fear. No, but see, the Lord takes you, and then I realize, like, you know, whatever you think, whatever you do, you are so fragile. If you don't have God's strength, if you don't have Jesus with you, you are fragile. You can never say, I'm a stalwart in book. Nothing will matter. When the time comes, you need Jesus so desperately, you know, that nothing can kill you. You need Jesus so desperately. I cling to him. And that's the reason why you know that Jesus, without Jesus, nothing happens. Without Jesus, nothing happens. And that's the way, that's the name you got to hang on to and cling on to. And I can never forget this experience. You know, I don't know why it happened, but God has taught me a lot in these things. And that is the reason why. Now looking at these people from Pergamum, Ephesus and all, how they are so boldly with the Lord. I'm telling you, like, you know, for example, if I was in one of these places, I would not stay there probably. I would have gone somewhere or, you know, do something. Because that is what, just imagine, you know you're going to be killed. Like last time we saw, no? One of the things was imprisonment. People said, like, you know, oh, imprisonment is good, at least you can live, you're in prison. But imprisonment is just a starting for death. It's just to harass you for death. Now even when I was looking at the clipping yesterday, those nuns, you know, I was so fragile. I was just thinking, one of them, this crazy guy, would just hit them or just taken away. And so, and they are just mingling them. What else can you do? One or two of the nuns pushed two of them. You know, listen, that's the maximum they can do. And just hitting that concrete ground and listen, so satanic. So satanic, you know, the video clipping one. So they are crazy. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do. So you see, our God is such a super God. Give us a chance to be afraid. This should give us a chance to be so powerful that we know a God who's upsetting these people. These are the people who have got millions of gods, but they can do nothing. Yeah, but one God is affecting them so badly. So you see how great is our God. Yeah, so this should put up our spirits more and more, rather than be saying, okay, kid, hit how many you want. Now you think Jesus is not in that crowd? Jesus is there. But for many reasons, here in one of the letters later, you'll find people who have been dead, no, who have been killed for Jesus, they are asking, Lord, how long should we wait? And Jesus said, wait for a little time, but still some more, you know, God has got a plan. And if you are counted among the martyrs, there's nothing like that. A martyr is a sure to heaven. All the apostles were martyred. All the apostles, except John. All martyrs. Stephen was martyred. And when you are martyring, you know, when you are being a martyr, what it is not death that overtakes you, it's sleep. Jesus, the Bible clearly, God says it's a sleep. It's a beautiful sleep where you can go to your to the Heavenly Father. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? So how many want to join the martyrs list? Don't put your hands up. Okay. Now, he's talking, luckily we are talking about the martyr. Now, Jesus talks about one called Antipas, right? Antipas. Now, honestly speaking, we don't know who Antipas is. But the reason Christ calls Antipas as my faithful martyr. So, there's a legend on Antipas. Nobody exactly knows who is he. But there was a person who, since he was, who was killed in a... There was a brass bull. Bull made of brass. And, you know, the stomach portion was empty. So they were barbecuing that bull. It was made for that only. And they put this Antipas into that brazen thing and killed him. So for a martyr, so Jesus is remembering him of Antipas, of this person who died for my sake. And see what is the title he gives him. Calls Antipas, my faithful martyrs. My faithful martyrs. So you see, martyrdom has got so much. And martyrs also, by the way, means witness. Huh? When you witness to a crime, Stephen doing? He was witnessing about Jesus when he was stoned. He was thrown down. He was stoned and he died. Right? He was witnessing for Jesus. Then he also tells you about. So he says, I know that you have been where the Satan's throne is. You are holding fast to my name. In spite of that, you're holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me. Okay, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught to Balak and put a stumbling block before the people of Israel so that they would not eat food sacrificed to idols and practice fornication. These are the two, conditions that any pagan required to join Christianity. One was not to eat any foods of the idols which they were so used to, and not to have fornication, and which they were so used to. Okay, for them there was no sanctity in marriage. They could have a very loose life. They had a very loose life. They had so many idols, so they were eating food that was sacrificed to idols. And these are the two main conditions. Even if you read Acts of the Apostles, these are the two conditions that the pagans had to obey to come into Christianity. They had to leave the foods given to the idols, and they had to leave fornication. That means having anything to do outside marriage. two main things. And then once again, we come to the people called Nicolaitans, right? We got them in the church of Ephesus, Nicolaitans. Now we know the story also of that time, that they were the descendants of, or the group of Nicholas. Nicholas was one of the 72 who were chosen for the to look after the people, you know, because Peter and all were so busy. They said that we will only concentrate on praying, and they chose 12 among them. Stephen was one of them, and Nicholas was one of them also, who were in charge of all this distributing of alms and things to the widows and all that stuff. Now Nicholas apparently fell out from those group, and these are the Nicolaitans who are his followers. Now the Nicolaitans were a dangerous group because they were within the church, and what they did, and like many of us Christians at the moment do, is they were willing to compromise. They said, like, look, okay, we are Christians, right? But we need not be so strict in what we do. Let us have a little bit of this, let us have a little bit of that, let us do this, this and that. You know, they were trying to water down Christianity. And Jesus called them very, very, and in that passage, Jesus, I hate the Nicolaitans. Just imagine Jesus hating the Nicolaitans. And we know why he hates it, because the Nicolaitans were spoiling his children, for example, he said, what is there in a little bit of adultery? What is there in a little bit of this? So he said, like, let us be prudent and not make Christianity such a difficult thing to do. And many of the people there at that time also, especially those people even today who are not much, who don't know who Jesus is, will always fall for this. I'm a Christian, yes. I'm doing a lot of my things. I go to mass, I go to this. But in the meantime, I will also socialize. I will also do a little bit of this. I'll always flirt a little bit. I'll eat something that is not forbiddable to me. I will do something wrong to me. Okay, just balancing. They say we are balancing with the community of today. Does it ring a bell today? Don't people commit leather? For example, one of the good examples is, I remember Peter today. He was saying, no, under the table, what is that? Some people say, no problem, you know, and it's a perk. It's a perk for me, but it's all illegal money. You cannot take under the table things, because that's against the law. Jesus says, like, you know, you don't even take anything that belongs to somebody else, right? And here you are taking a bribe. They will not call it a bribe. They will call it a bakshish, you know, I'm doing a favor. They are doing me a favor, but that's wrong. So these are the acts of Nicolaitans who water down the Christianity to someone. But Jesus has no. What is Jesus' thing? Carry your cross daily and follow me. When you carry your cross, can you take all these things? These are not crosses. Yeah, these are the things that attack your crosses. So when we call ourselves real Christians, we got to live as real Christians. Otherwise, what does Jesus say? For half people, what does Jesus say? I will spew you out. Lukewarm people, what does Jesus say? I will spew you out, right? I will spew you out. So we have to be very careful for what we do. So as we close this chapter today, let us see. There are so many things to learn from these things. How do the people of that time lived? Hats off to them, honestly, because they are such great stalwarts of Christianity that we are nothing compared to them. We are watered down Christians. But that should not dampen our spirits, because we can always, God is always there, and time is given always for everybody to come up. Jesus says, repent and come back to me. That is the God, our God of love, who is And especially during this time of Lent, if we are, that's the only time when we can really come up, not for 40 days, but beginning from today, that our life in future will be so great, right? So, thank you, Lord, for this time that we spent with you. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and helping us to understand where we stand compared to the Christians of the past. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with a very good time at this moment, Lord, compared to what your followers did in the past, and because of their martyrdom, because of the blood they shed, Lord, for you, today Christianity is so vibrant and alive. Let these past heroes, O God, bring us a lot of inspiration, O God, on how to be faithful to you, Lord. Because all you require, Lord, is faithful people, not Nicolaitans, which whom you hate, O God. Perhaps we have been Nicolaitans so far, Lord, in some way or the other. But today, Lord, as we take home your message, we pray, O God, take away our Nicolaitan attribute from us and give us the grace to be true Christians, like the pagans who converted themselves to Christian be, so that even tomorrow, if martyrdom calls us, we may embrace it with love, knowing that that's the only way to heaven, and that's the only way to the crown of glory which we discovered last time. Lord, as our team goes to the hospital for their visit, Lord, we pray, send forth your spirit, Lord, and heal all your diseases, Lord God. Because nothing is impossible with you, my God. Thank you for this team, Lord God. Anoint their hands, anoint their mouth, Lord God, the words that come out, Lord. And let this, Lord God, bring solace to the patients, Lord. Touch their hearts, Lord God, and let them know who the healer, the real healer is, Lord. Jesus, you and you and you alone, O Lord. Amen. While the rest of us, Lord God, go back to our homes, Lord, we pray that you bless our vehicles, Lord, as we travel. We pray, O Lord God, that you stir our hearts, Lord. You stir our hearts that we may not just sit down there, Lord, but we will spend quality time with you, our Father, Lord, so that, Lord, our relationship with you will be so great, O God, that nothing will ever matter, life or death, Lord God, because we are all headed towards you. And what else then we can look forward, Lord, but coming back to you, remaining with you for eternity, Lord God, with no sickness, with no problems, with no hatred, with nothing of that sort, Lord. And thank you, Mama Mary, for always being with us and guiding us, blessing us, and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The only way, the truth, and the light, Lord God. We, your children, have seen the light, Lord, and we want to follow you and never be in darkness, as we children of God agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a good week ahead. See you next week.